Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you for another edition of Phillies Today. I'm recording this very, very early on a Friday morning here. And, you know, just as we were wrapping up the night last night and about to head to bed and, you know, just figuring out what to talk about on the pod today, Dave Dombrowski makes a little move here. And, you know, it's not a move that exactly excites the fan base. It doesn't exactly excite me. I won't say that. When I got the alert from Jeff Passan, the Phillies are signing Max Kepler to a one-year, $10 million deal, I jumped out of my seat or anything. But it is a move, and we do have to talk about it. And it's a move that's going to impact this team greatly because I think there's a very good chance that Max Kepler is going to be playing a lot of baseball for this team and could be starting on opening day when we open the season up here in a few months. So it's not a major move. It's not a, you know, move that a lot of Phillies fans were looking for in terms of getting excited and really changing this thing up as we approach next year. But it is a move that will impact the team for sure. So want to get into that, of course. We're going to talk about kind of Dave Dombrowski as a whole and what this offseason has kind of told us about the Phillies president of baseball operations as I guess he goes into year, what is it now, year four of being the Phillies president of baseball operations. And we've had a good sample size of Dave Dombrowski as the guy running the show. And I'm going to say I'm disappointed. That is what I will lead into it with. And I will go into more detail as, you know, I get into the topic there. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the available, you know, hitters, pitchers, free agents, trade guys still out there on the market. The Phillies could potentially make a play for. I still would be stunned if the Phillies didn't make a move bigger than either of the two that they've, you know, kind of made so far. They signed Nick Vespi, I believe, to a minor league deal as well. So that was another note to throw in there. And, you know, we will see where that takes us. But want to talk about the Max Kepler thing for the majority of the pod here. And if you missed it, we'll go over it one more time right now. The Phillies and longtime Minnesota Twins outfielder Max Kepler agreed to a one-year, $10 million deal. Phillies haven't confirmed yet, but Kepler was, you know, a very productive hitter, I will say, for the Twins, going back to, 2016, 2017 here, and, you know, had a OPS plus above 100, which is above league average, slash 260, 332, and 484 with 26 homers, 66 RBI in 2023. So, had a nice little productive year a couple seasons ago, but very much like Jordan Romano, who the Phillies signed earlier this year on a flyer after coming back from an elbow injury, he had a very injury-plagued 2024, and it included patellar tendonitis, he had knee issues, he had hip issues, and ultimately only had 399 plate appearances in his last year with the Twins. So where does he fit on the Phillies right now? As soon as the move gets made, I'm thinking it's probably a depth signing, but as soon as I see $10 million, like, that's more than what Whit Merrifield signed last year for sure, and that's, if you're paying a guy $10 million, you expect him to be getting a lot of at-bats for your team, so I think that there's a good chance that Max Kepler ends up starting for this baseball team to begin the year, which I know it's not what everyone wants, and I'm not thrilled either. It's basically how I felt last year after the Phillies signed Whit Merrifield. I thought to myself, this is a great depth signing, and it's one where if you have a nice bat off the bench, you know, left-handed hitter, to be able to add to your lineup against right-handed pitchers, that can be a positive for your ball club. But at the same time, I just don't see that as being the type of thing that elevates this team past to where they were last year. And I think he's going to probably start on opening day in left field, and there's going to be sort of a Marsh and Rojas platoon in center, which, again, doesn't really excite me. I just don't understand. If you were going to make this move, I would have been okay with the Marsh and Austin Hayes platoon in left field. Like, that would have been fine for me. I think Austin Hayes and Max Kepler are pretty similar, except one bats from the right side and one from the left, obviously. And I guess you just would have given Rojas center field there. But I just think that it's a signing where I understand why they made it, and it makes a lot of sense given that you think he can bounce back from an injury and he's put up numbers before. And while they're nothing exciting, they're above average league numbers. And he's also a plus defender, which helps as well. Kind of a savant god, if you will, has, you know, good metrics in terms of exit velocity, hard hit, sweet spot, all that stuff. But the one thing is he does tend to chase a lot still. And the chase rate is definitely an issue with the Phillies, as we know, as we watched in the postseason this year and in the postseason last couple of years. And it felt like the organizational approach heading into this offseason was that they were going to go get guys who didn't chase, who were disciplined hitters, who worked counts, who, you know, put the ball in play. And while he's a guy who, you know, can walk and can get on base, he's definitely a guy that chases as well. So going to be interesting to see how they kind of maneuver him around, assuming that Nick Castellanos is still here when the season gets going. I would think that Max Kepler is probably your opening day left fielder. And he's won, I don't know if he's won a gold glove, but he's been a gold glove caliber right fielder in the past. And I do wonder if they potentially make the decision to move Max Kepler to right field and then move Nick Castellanos potentially back to left field, where he played a little bit of left field early on for the Phils. But no matter how they, I guess, position everybody here and how they kind of spin this lineup on opening day, it's disappointing at the end of the day. Like, don't get me wrong here. I would not be thrilled going into the season with Max Kepler being their big outfield bat acquisition. Like, that's not who he is. He's a guy who, I don't want to say just a guy, but somebody who they're counting on to bounce back. He's had injuries in the past. He's had up and down seasons.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
And while he has good numbers as a whole from, you know, a good 6 year span, above average numbers, I just feel like they're taking too many flyers on guys who are trying to come back from injury. And I think that's a good strategy to sign guys to 1 year prove it deals to where they can show that the skills that they had before they were injured, that they are still there, and that if, you know, if they recover properly, then they'll be able to contribute positively to the ball club. I just don't think that that's the type of shakeup this team needs right now. It just really felt like they needed to get a star caliber player to be able to come in here and be inserted in this lineup because of the way they've gone out the last couple of years. And that has been with the offense just going totally cold and maybe even just shaking up the style in which the lineup is, you know, laid out. And I understand that Alec Boehm is still on the team and that there's a chance that he doesn't get traded, but I always kind of felt that third base was the place that they were going to change up a little bit. And if Alec Boehm stays here and, you know, you have Marsh still on the team and Rojas on the team, and you have all these guys who, you know, were here last year and kind of comprised the lineup that was, you know, eventually fell to the Mets in four games, I just don't know how you kind of spin this into a positive light as next year approaches. And the offseason's still young. There's still plenty of names out there, which I'm going to get to in a minute. But it almost really does feel like the Whit Merrifield signing last year. It's like, oh, nice, good little signing, but what else are you going to do? And now it kind of leads me into my Dave Dombrowski conversation here of, you know, we've had a good sample size of Dave Dombrowski now. And I got to say, as much as I respect the guy and as much as, you know, he's respected around baseball and I do trust his baseball intuition at the end of the day, he's underwhelmed in a lot of aspects during his time as the Philly general manager. And he's made some good moves. Like, don't get me wrong, Kyle Schwarber contract, phenomenal deal. Getting Nola done and getting Wheeler extended, credit to him for that, because the Phillies still have one of the top pitching staffs in baseball. And if he isn't able to retain both of those guys or either of those guys, then that's not how it looks right now. So he's done some good things, but at the same time, the last two off seasons now have been incredibly underwhelming. And that's not to even bring up the trade deadlines over the past couple of years, which have been less than underwhelming, that they have been just poor. You get Rodolfo Castro and Michael Lorenzen in 2023. And then last year, you get Hayes, which doesn't work out because he's the kidney infection. And then ultimately, you just can't really stay on the field or stay healthy there. And you also get Carlos Estevez, who you're not going to end up retaining probably this offseason as well. It just feels like over the last couple of seasons, Dave Dombrowski has had opportunities to do what he's done in the past in Detroit with the Marlins and with the Red Sox as well, which is go out and get some, established talent on this team. Go get studs, because I think in baseball right now, when you're a when you're a big market team like the Phillies are, and you're spending money and you have one of the biggest payrolls in baseball, you need to go out and you need to get studs. And we saw in the World Series this season, that was the case with the Dodgers, with the Yankees. And if you don't have those hitters in your lineup and you don't have just, pure stars being able to hit for you up and down the lineup, I just don't know how good this offense can get if you still have, Brandon Marsh in the lineup, if you still have Johan Rojas in the lineup, if you have Max Kepler in the lineup, if you have some of these guys, who knows how JT Realmuto comes out next year either. It just feels like they are on the other side potentially of what maybe in 21, 22 was an up-and-coming lineup that had a lot of stars and felt like they were on the rise. It kind of feels like they're on the other side of that now, and it worries me going into next year, I won't lie. And I think that Dave Dombrowski has a lot to prove to the fan base the rest of this offseason and into next season, because I've mentioned before how this window, while I don't think it's closing, and in fact, I think the ownership, including John Middleton, Dombrowski, everybody here, I've been Preston Mattingly is the general manager now. I think they want to keep this window open, and that's why they're not trading a lot of the prospects and why they want Painter here still and why they want Aiden Miller and Justin Crawford here. But it feels like the window for a lot of these veterans is beginning to close. And if you don't kind of capitalize on what they still have left, and obviously Bryce has a lot left in the tank, Schwarber has a lot left in the tank, Zach Wheeler has a ton left in the tank, I think that we might look back on this in a while and we might say to ourselves, they missed a golden opportunity to go out and get a Kyle Tucker, who if you get Kyle Tucker and he's in your starting outfield on opening day with Castellanos and with a Marsh and Rojas platoon, that is an outfield that you can feel really good about, offensively going into next year. And I understand that he was hitting free agency and that obviously the Cubs gave them a nice package with Cam Smith, who's a good prospect, and Paredes, who is going to be an absolute Crawford box merchant out there in Houston with the Astros. And Hayden Wesneski is a good little arm too, but it just feels like they missed a real opportunity there. And that's the one trade that bothered me more than anything. The Phillies weren't able to get in on there. I know there were some other rumors out there, and Arenado turned down a trade to the Astros apparently. So the Phillies could still be in the mix for him, even though I don't think Nolan Arenado is near the player that he was in the past, and his defensive metrics were down this year as well. So he's certainly not, the platinum glove defender that he was with Colorado all those years. And I do think he is certainly on the downswing of things, and the chase isn't great with him either. But it felt like Kyle Tucker was the guy to go get. And I was very disappointed to see that the Cubs, a team that, is, I don't think anywhere near contention to win a World Series right now, go out and get him, I thought was just really disappointing. And also, now that the Cubs were able to shed some salary and trade Cody Bellinger to the Yankees, I don't know if they're getting off of Seiya Suzuki this offseason, because it felt like that was a move that they were going to make just purely as a salary dump, which they did for Bellinger. They traded him to the Yankees for a prospect I'd really never even heard of. And it just feels like the Phillies have kind of missed their opportunity. And I've talked about how there are guys still left, and it feels like everything is kind of going to be put on pause here until after Christmas, just based on what all the rumors are on Twitter right now. But I just really hope they didn't miss an opportunity to trade for one of these guys. So especially Kyle Tucker, who is just one of the most talented guys in the league and is going to make a lot of money next offseason. Hey, maybe the Phillies are the team that signs him, but I just hope they don't punt this year essentially and waste another year of Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper, Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, all these guys' primes who, again, are getting older and will eventually, not be the guys that we've been accustomed to anymore. So Not great there, but again, Max Kepler, just to kind of wrap that whole thing up, Dave Dombrowski is kind of taking these one-year flyers. He's done a couple of them so far this offseason. You eventually have to get somebody who is established and is going to help your lineup this season. So we will continue to monitor that. And one of the guys he's going to have to get are probably via the trade market, because free agents right now, the best two guys that are probably out there are Corbin Burns, who, you know, the Phillies probably aren't paying big money for a pitcher, which I wouldn't want them to anyway. It feels like the lineup is the thing that needs the most work right now. I feel pretty confident in the starting rotation going into next year with what they have right now. And, you know, we'll see. I would be surprised if they didn't sign a veteran before the start of the season, because then you're essentially giving Taijuan Walker a chance to make this rotation, which I don't think should be the case. You should probably, you know, like the Howie Roseman way with the Eagles, and has always kind of been just cut your losses where they are. Understand that, hey, this draft pick didn't hit, this free agent didn't hit, we're going to cut our losses, we're going to let them go. Like, eventually they're going to have to understand that with Taijuan Walker, and you just got to move on here. But I would be surprised if they didn't sign another veteran pitcher going into next season, because obviously you want to build that bridge to Andrew Painter. So wouldn't be shocked to see a guy on a one-year deal, similar to, you know, Spencer Turnbull last year, the way he was able to perform before getting injured. And so I would expect something there. But I will say they have to fix this bullpen to start. They need one more arm. And if they don't get another arm, I think it'd be really disappointing, because Romano is still a wild card, and you have to be able to, you know, have some insurance for him, because coming off an elbow injury, there's no guarantee that Jordan Romano is going to be the same guy that he was in 2022 and 2023. So I still think they have to do some work there, but most importantly, they have to improve this offense. And there are some good names out there on the trade market right now, and I think the Phillies should be incredibly active in this trade market. And I understand that you want to hold on to these prospects, the guys I mentioned, Crawford, Painter, Aiden Miller, Starlin Cabo, a lot of these, you know, really talented young kids, but there's some good names on this trade market right now, and there are a couple that I'm really, you know, kind of interested in here. And I talked about him last trade deadline, but Lane Thomas of the Cleveland Guardians, formerly of the Washington Nationals, has always just felt like a great fit for me. A right-handed bat that could platoon with a Max Kepler, that could platoon with a Brandon Marsh, and has been really good against left-handed pitching in his career. Decent glove out there in the outfield, and he had a massive grand slam in the postseason this year, so he's had some postseason experience as well. I would love for them to go out and potentially pursue Lane Thomas. Some other names out there, obviously Luis Robert, who, you know, Phillies struck out on the Crochet trade, but Luis Robert is still out there, and it feels like his value's down, almost similar to where Bohm's is, where he was a big trade deadline target last year for a lot of teams and doesn't end up getting traded. Puts up some, you know, not great numbers, and old people aren't sure, you know, what his, I guess, clubhouse presence is like, if he's, you know, a positive influence on the clubhouse. But I think the Phillies, and in terms of their personnel, they have, you know, a winning mentality, and they would be able to kind of bring that to Luis Robert's, I guess, mindset, if you will. And I think that that would be an interesting name to look out for as well. And just some other ones to, you know, list them off here. Starling Marte with the Mets, I think, could be an interesting name to look out for. And Taylor Ward has always been connected to the Phillies, I feel like. But one other guy who's a free agent who I don't know if I'm interested in or not, I keep going back and forth on it, is Jerickson Profar. And I feel like he kind of adds the element of, you know, contact hitter who doesn't chase a ton, who puts the ball in play. I like him from that aspect, but it just feels like he's had way too many, or too big of a fluctuation of, you know, great offensive numbers to, you know, pretty poor numbers. Like last year, he had a phenomenal offensive season, but the year before was just really bad out in Colorado. And I'm not really sure if he's a guy who I want to rely on next year to be, you know, getting 500 plus at bats. So Jerickson Profar, probably the last name I would look out for. And there are some others. Like Fromber would be an interesting one in terms of a starter. I understand the Phillies probably don't need starting pitching, like I said, but I would, if a deal is there for Fromber Valdez, you know, why not make this a Dodgers-like pitching staff and be with the Dodgers in terms of the best in the National League with your starters? So some interesting names there. And one more guy who I wanted to bring up, and I saw in a few rumors on Twitter this week, and a player who I've actually really liked as I've gotten to watch him, and a very young player still, and that is Spencer Steer, who on the Cincinnati Reds has, you know, put up some really good numbers and is only 27 years old heading into the 2025 season. Right-handed power bat, which the Phillies could desperately use, and can play multiple positions, positionally versatile, can go to left, can go to first, can go to third. I thought that's a really interesting name that popped up. And the Reds are kind of confusing me because I think they have such a good young core, and it feels like they are very hesitant to kind of go out into the free agent market. And I guess it's just their owners not being, you know, as, you know, willing to spend as a lot of the big markets. And, you know, Cincinnati is a small market, but it feels like that's kind of a baseball town. But yeah, Spencer Steer is apparently out on the block, and I think that that would be a great, great target for the Phillies to kind of capitalize on, somebody who's under team control for a little bit. And he's coming off a very solid season with the Reds there. And hey, who knows? Maybe they, you know, pair Diaz with him. That would be solve two issues for you and get you another real solid high leverage arm in the bullpen. So the Phillies just have to explore some scenarios like that, improve the bullpen, improve the lineup, and be able to just, you know, you don't have to rearrange the entire team from last year. I think that's what the common misconception is. I don't think that the Phillies need to, you know, kind of reinvent the wheel here of just, you know, getting a total new approach in. But at the same time, you do have to make improvements to this lineup because you're seeing what's going on around baseball right now. The Mets are getting better. The Braves are going to be healthy this year. The Dodgers are obviously getting better. The Padres are still going to be a really good team in the National League. And I think the National League is probably the stronger of the two leagues right now. And it's not going to be easy to get to the postseason again and to, you know, go deep. And obviously the Phillies have had their shortcomings in the last couple of seasons, and we've seen why they've gotten bounced, and that is because of the lineup and it going cold at the worst time. So getting guys in here who are a little more consistent and have, let's say, higher lows and lower highs, just being able to kind of be in a straighter line in terms of, you know, not being, you know, when the Phillies are on, they're just, you know, obviously phenomenal offense, but at the same time, they go cold just like that. So it is something that they need to address this offseason. I don't know if they've done that so far. I don't think Max Kepler gets that done for you. So Dave Dombrowski, you're on the clock. Still haven't really made a big move, and I really think you need one going into next season, or else this fan base is not going to get on board with you right away. They're not going to be excited about this team, just considering the taste that's been left in their mouth after the last couple of postseasons where they've had, it seems like, the core to be able to get to the World Series, and the offense just kind of, you know, fades out at the end. And it's been for the same reason 2 years in a row. And hopefully that, you know, players are eventually willing to switch positions. I think that's a big part of it. And until they do, they're going to have to wait another season to be able to, you know, get options in the outfield here, because the options in terms of outfielders this offseason are running out, especially with Soto off the board, with Kyle Tucker off the board, and with guys, you know, seemingly finding new homes day in and day out. So that is where I'm at with the Phillies right now, and it's where I'm at with Dave Dombrowski, and he's got to figure it out here, or else there's not going to be a ton of excitement among this fan base heading into next year after a quiet offseason. So with that, that's going to put a wrap on Phillies Today. We'll be off next week on vacation, so everyone have a tremendous Christmas, have a tremendous holiday, and we will speak next 2 weeks, and hopefully Dave Dombrowski has made a move by then. So for Phillies 24/7 and Phillies Today, this has been Justin Morgenstein, and have a good one, everyone. I'll see you.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.